We're holding unlimited tests, onward bays, 10 lines from the bottom. Line begins with Totus. We're holding Omer of Yane. We said in the mission that the Kohen Gadol does the girdle on the two goats, Lashem and Lazozel. So now we're going to talk about the dinim of that. Omer of Yane. Alias girdle mitech kalpi ma'akevas. Take the girdle coming out of the box is ma'akev, meaning, in other words, the girdle has to be made. We can't just have that the Kohen Gadol is just going to say without a girdle, this one is Lashem, that one is Lazozel. There has to be a girdle. However, hanocha ain't a ma'akevas, but putting the two girdles on the two goats is not ma'akev. If the Kohen Gadol just lifts out the girdles from the box, Lashem and Lazozel, but he doesn't actually, so we said in the Mishnah, he puts them on the animals, but Rabbi Yana is telling us that putting them on the animals is not actually ma'akev. Even if he didn't do that, the girdle would still be kosher, because once the goats are on the two sides of him, he has one on the right, one on the left. So as soon as he takes out of the box, he takes out the girdles, and one is in his right hand, and one is on his left, and one is in his left hand, then automatically that makes the two goats, respectively, Lashem and Lazozel, and he doesn't have to actually put them on in order for that to happen. Rabbi Yechanan Omar af aliyah ain't a ma'akevus. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, even taking them out of the box is not ma'akev. Meaning, Rashi says, so therefore, so if he were to, if he were to just say this one is a chatas, this one is Lashem, this is Lazozel, without a girdle, Rabbi Yechanan would say it's not ma'akev. He didn't do the mitzvah the ideal way, because the Torah tells us to make a girdle, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, the girdle is not ma'akev. Now we're going to have later on in the Masechta Machloitis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah as follows. The Mishnah is going to tell us later on in the Masechta, that if the Kohen Gadol does the avoidus out, does certain avoidus out of order, then they're possible. So the question is, now that for sure applies to avoidus that he does in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we're going to get to over there. The question is, does that also apply to other things that he does while he's wearing the white clothes, but that he does outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So that's Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah later in the Masechta. So the Gemara refers to that machlokas over here, and how does it relate to this machlokas that we're talking here according to Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yehudan? So Aliba did Rabbi Yehuda. So if we go according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dvarim Anas Mebigdei Lavan Melachot Loi Ma'akva, he says that if you did things out of order of things that are done in Bigdei Lavan outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then they're not ma'akiv. So within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then both Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yanai are going to agree. Listen, the girdle is not done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It is done while he's wearing Big Day Lavan. The Kohen Gadol put on already his Big Day Lavan in the middle of the previous Pedek, and he's going to be in the same outfit of Big Day Lavan all the way until he's going to be in the same outfit of Big Day Lavan all the way until the sixth Pedek, or until the beginning of the seventh Pedek. But on the other hand, it's outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then everybody would agree that making the girdle is not ma'akev, because after all, it's not done inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ki pligi aliba did Rabbi Nechemiah. The machlokas between Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yechanan would have to be within Rabbi Nechemiah's opinion. Manda amar ma'akev because Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Yana, who says that you have to do the girdle, and if you don't do it, it's ma'akev, would be going straight like Rabbi Nechemiah. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan, who says it's not ma'akev, he would say hani mili avoida. He would say, sure, Rabbi Nechemiah is telling you that any avoida that's done in Big Day Lavan is ma'akev if you do it out of order. But doing the girdle is not considered an avoida to the extent that doing it out of order, or even not doing it at all, should make things possible. Tosfos Yeshanim points out later on, the Gemara does mention that you have not only things that are done in Bigdei Lavan Bifnim, but also things that are done as a prerequisite for things that are done Bifnim. Now, this girdle, on the face of it, is a prerequisite for something that's done Bifnim, because eventually the blood of the Sarah Lashem is going to be taken into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. For example, the Gemara mentions that later on about Shechita. But Tosfos Rishonim says, okay, listen, you know, shchita is not really a full-fledged avoda either, but it's more of an avoda than the girdle, where after all, you can, it's possible to make the korban pigle during it, and so forth. And also, anyway, the fact is, the girdle is also over here at this point. When we make the girdle, we have a sur la shem and we have a sur la zozel, and the sur la zozel is definitely not going anywhere near the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, so you can't really consider it surich pnim. You can't really consider it so as much of a prerequisite for something that's done inside. And therefore, again, we're going to say, Rabbi Yochanan is going to understand Rabbi Nechemiah to say, yes, anything done in any avoida done in Bigdei Lavan, or anything that's a prerequisite for things that are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is going to be possible, but the girdle is not any of the above, and therefore, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, it's not matter. Rashi explains that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah basically has to do with, at the end of the parasha of Yom Kippur, in Achrimos, the Torah tells us that you should do it, that this should be l'chukas olam, a chukah forever. And in general, we say that when the Torah labels something a chukah, then it means that it has to be done exactly so, and if not, then it's possible. So then the machlokas is, does that apply to everything that's done in Bigdei Lavan, like Rabbi Nechemiah says, or only things that are done inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is what Rabbi Yehuda said. So anyway, so again, in our Gemara over here, then we're saying that if we went according to Rabbi Yehuda, both Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yechanan would have to agree, since it's not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's not really considered a prerequisite for something in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then therefore Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't have a problem with it if you missed the girdle, you left out a mitzvah, but it wouldn't be possible. Whereas according to Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Yanai would say then that it's possible, and Rabbi Yechanan would say that's still not, because after all, only things that are an avoida would be essential, according to Rabbi Nechemiah. That's one version of their machlokes. Ikadamri, a second version of their machlokes, is a libid of Nechemiah, the Omer Ma'akva, is the other way around. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, within Rabbi Nechemiah's opinion, that he says that anything done in Bigdei Lavan, if you don't do it, or if you do it out of order, is Ma'akiv, well then, Kolamalei Pligid Ma'akva. Then both, according to the second version, both Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yechanan would have to agree that the Gerol is Ma'akiv, because after all, it's done in Bigdei Lavan. According to the second version, it's the other way around. In the first version, we said they would both say Rabbi Yehuda says there's no problem. In the second version, we're saying the machloekas would be within Rabbi Yehuda's version, who says that only things that are done b'fnim are ma'akev. So manda amar loy ma'akva k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yechanan, who says therefore that the girdle is not ma'akev, would be going straight like Rabbi Yehuda. Umanda omar ma'akva, whereas Rabbi Yanai, who says that even Rabbi Yehuda would say the girdle is ma'akev, he would say, Shiny Hocha the Tonabekra. He would say it's different over here because the Pasuk repeated twice the concept that the Gerolas have to come out of the box. Asher Ola Tshrezim. Twice in the Psukim over there, it uses the expression Asher Ola Ola Asher Ola Ola HaGerol. So therefore, and we have a general rule with Kodshim that anytime something is repeated, then it means that it's ma'akiv. So therefore, Rabbi Yanai would say, so look, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, forget about the fact that it's in Bigdei Lavan, forget about whether it's an avoda or whether it's a prerequisite for something in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the fact is it says it twice. Whereas Tosfos says, Rabbi Yochanan would answer back to that, when do we say that something that's mentioned twice is ma'akiv? Only if the Torah tells you twice to do something. But here, the Torah is not telling you either time to do it. It's telling you, it's giving you a factual description. Asher Ola, Ola HaGerdol, that the girdle came out on it, the one Lashem and the one Lazozel. So you can't call that something that Shana, so Rabbi Yechanan would say, you can't call that Shana Ola HaKos of Lachim. Whereas Rabbi Yanai would hold that it is. So now we're going to get into, now we have to go and try to find proofs one way or the other. So let's keep in mind that we have two different opinions over here, Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yechanan, and we have two ways of understanding their machlokas, whether their machlokas is within Rabbi Nechemiah's opinion, but that according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it would be fine, according to everybody, or is it the other way around, that their machlokas is within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and according to Rabbi Nechemiah, for sure it would be no good if you don't make the girdle. So the Gemara says, Mesi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, mitzvah lahagril. It's a mitzvah to make a girdle, but in Gemara terminology, mitzvah means something that's not active. The imloy higril kosher. If you didn't make a girdle, then b'di'evet, it's kosher. So Now let's go how see how that fits with the respective opinions. If you go according to the first Lashon, that everybody would agree according to Rabbi Yehuda, the girdle is not ma'akiv, well then good. Then no problem. We can say that this braisa that says that the girdle is only a mitzvah and not ma'akiv would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. And according to that first version, both Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yanai would agree with that. Ela lahach lishna de amrit pligi. But according to the second Lashon, that you said that they're arguing within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, well then, b'shleim elamanda amar lema achba hamani Rabbi Yehuda hi, well then, this braisa works out according to Rabbi Yechanan, it would still represent the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, elamanda amar ma'akba, but if you say, according to Rabbi Yanai, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the girdle was ma'akba, hamani, then who is this braisa going to be like? It wouldn't be like Rabbi Nechemya. It wouldn't be like Rabbi Yehuda. So what other Tana do you find that addresses this issue of whether the girdle is ma'akev or not? So wouldn't that be a contradiction on, at least on this, that would be a contradiction on Rabbi Yanai according to the second Lashon? The answer is Tony Mitzvah Laniach. Not necessarily, because you could change slightly the meaning of the braisa and say when it says mitzvah lahagril, it doesn't really mean to make the girdle at all. It means to place the girdles on the goats. Now placing, it only says one time in the pasuk. So even Rabbi Yanai is going to agree that that's not ma'akiv, because again, according to him, according to the second Lashon, according to him, the only reason it's ma'akiv is because it says it twice. Well, then so the girdle, it says twice. The hanacha, it says only once. Tosfos says, actually, the Gemara is not really even editing the braisa at all. The Gemara is explaining that the word higril over here means to actually place the girdles on the animals rather than just pull them out of the box. Now, the Gemara is going to mention soon that you have the opinion of Reb Shimon, who says that the girdle is not ma'akiv. However, Tosfos says that later on they found this braisa in Tosefta, and you have afterwards a machlokas that we're going to quote soon in the Gemara. So we see that this braisa that we just quoted, mitzvah lahagro v'im lehigro kosher, cannot be according to Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon disagrees only later on. So therefore, the Gemara couldn't use the answer over here that this is according to Rav Shimon. So therefore, it had to use the answer that we're modifying with what the braisa means, that when it says lahagril, actually means lahaniach, means to place them on the animals. And that, even Rav Yanai agrees that's not ma'akiv. So that's no contradiction on Rav Yanai. Fine. Toshma, we learn another braisa, mitzvah lahagril ula hisvadris. It's a mitzvah to make the girdle and to say the vidri. Loy higru v'loy hisvada kosher. But if you didn't make the girdle and the kohen didn't say the vidri on the vidri on the sar la'azazel, that is the third vidri of the day, kosher, then the avoda is kosher. So you see again that if you didn't make a girdle, it's kosher. So again, it's a question on the same thing. According to the second Lashon, who would Rabbi Yanai say this braisa goes according to? V'chitema hochanami lahaniach. You're going to say, okay, this means also, like in the previous one, we're going to change the meaning of the word lahagril and say it doesn't mean to make the girdle, it means to put the girdle on the animals. And you're going to say, we just said everybody agrees that's not necessary. Ema sefer, but you can't say that because look at the next part of the braisa. Reb Shimon omer loy higru kosher loy svada posel. Reb Shimon says that if he did not make the girdle, then it's kosher. But if he didn't say the vidri, then Reb Shimon disagrees with the Tanakama and says that it's posel. So now we have to ask. Let's figure out again. My loy higru. What would loy higru mean over there? Ilay me loy himniach. Does that mean? Does that mean that Reb Shimon is saying it's only kosher if you didn't place it on the animal, but Reb Shimon would require you to be doing the girdle? Miklal de Reb Shimon sava hagrola ma'akva, which would mean then that we would have to say Reb Shimon would be saying that making the girdle itself is ma'akiv. So he would be saying, similar to Reb Nechemya, that the hagrola, being that it's done in Big Day Lavan, would be ma'akiv. But we know for a fact that Reb Shimon doesn't hold that way. We know for a fact Reb Shimon says that the girdle is not ma'akiv. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. Later on, in the sixth perek, we're going to deal with the question like this. You make the girdle on the two goats. But between when you make the girdle and when the two goats are used for their respective purposes, la'ashem and la'azazel, some time passes. What happens if during that time one of the animals dies? So the Mishnah over there in the sixth parak describes, the Tanakhama says what you do, that according according to the Tanakhama over there, you have to have, the animal has to be picked with a girdle. So therefore you obviously you can't bring one animal and make a girdle on it. So necessarily, therefore, you have to bring two new animals and make a new girdle. And then you have the complication of what do you do? So now let's say the Sar La'Azazel was the one that died. So now you have two Sar La'Shem, one left over from the first girdle and one from the second girdle. And what are you doing with the extra one? And the same thing vice versa. Whereas Reb Shimon says, V'altanya mes echad mehen, a braisa says that if one of the animals died after the girdle, maybe chaveda shaloi b'hagrola divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says you don't need a new girdle. You just get another replacement animal and you designate it without making a girdle. So in other words, in our scenario, so you have the Sar La'Azazel died before you had a chance to send it off. So Reb Shimon will say, no problem. The Sar La'Shem you still have from before, you take another goat, declare it the Sar La'Azazel without a girdle, and that's that. So you see, therefore, that Reb Shimon does not require a girdle in order to designate the animal. So you see, therefore, that he's saying that a girdle is not ma'aktiv. So you can't understand the braisa that we just quoted when it says loy higril kosher to be saying that Reb Shimon would say it's fine if you didn't put them on the animals, but if you didn't make the girdle, then it would be possible. Necessarily, loy higril in this braisa has to mean exactly what it sounds like if you didn't make the girdle. Well, therefore, said Reb Shimon was saying is the one who would say that the girdle was not ma'aktiv. Implied, but we said before, according to Reb Yanai, according to the second lashon of Reb Yanai anyway, both Reb Yehuda and Reb Nechemya, who are the other Tanoim who are dealing with this, say that the girdle is ma'aktiv. So then who would be the Tanakama of this braisa? When we say loy higru v'loy svada kosher, and then Reb Shimon says loy higru kosher loy svada posel, so then who would the Tanakama be? According to the second version of Reb Yanai, it wouldn't work according to Reb Yehuda or according to Reb Nechemya. The answer is, the Gemara says, no. In fact, the word loy higril in the braisa does mean, like we said before, loy hiniach, you didn't put it on the animals. So why is Reb Shimon saying loy higril kosher as if to imply that the girdle itself is required, only the hanocha is not? What it is Reb Shimon loy yoda mai kamir rabbanan. Reb Shimon does not fully, he doesn't fully understand what the Chachamim said. When the Tanakhama said, Loi Higril, Reb Shimon is not sure what the Tanakhama means by that, whether he means an actual girdle or whether he means the Hanoch. So, Vahochikamalahu, so therefore, so Reb Shimon is using the word Higril, so he's using the word Higril, but he's not necessarily using it in the same sense as the Tanakhama did. So, Vahochikamalahu, Reb Shimon is telling them, therefore, as follows. If the word hagrola if you're saying loy higril, you mean the actual hagrola, and you're saying that if you didn't do that, then it's kosher. I mean, in other words, it's not ma'akiv, but on the other hand, if you don't do the vidui, it's also kosher. Then poligna alaycha v'chada. Then he says, you should know I'm arguing with you on one point. You say that the vidui is not required. I'm telling you also that you say that the vidui is not required. I'm telling you the vidui is required. But then he continues, and if, on the other hand, when you say loy higril kosher, you mean placing it on the animals. In other words, you Tanakama, you Chachamim are saying that the girdle is required, just the hanocha is not required. Then poligna alaycha b'tarti, then you should know I'm arguing with you on two points. Namely, that in that case, you would be potentially saying that the girdle is required, and I'm telling you that it's not, and I'm telling you that according to my opinion, it's not. Number two, the vice versa, you're saying that the vidui on the Sar La'Azazel is not ma'akiv, and I'm saying it is ma'akiv, as we're going to see soon why Reb Shimon holds that. When Reb Shimon says the word, so when the Tanakhama says lo higril, so the Tanakhama may well mean if you didn't make the girdle, according to Reb Yanai's second version, that would be according to both Reb Yehuda and Reb Nechemya, because both of them would be saying that the girdle is
is essential and is ma'akid. According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yechanan, according to the second version of Rabbi Yechanan, it would be only according to Rabbi Nehemiah and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. Then when Rabbi Shimon is saying loy higril kosher, then he would mean that what I hold is the hanocha is not required. I don't know. I'm not clear whether you chachamim agree with me that the girdle is required. If you hold that way, then I'm disagreeing with you on that point. If not, then we both agree that the girdle is not ma'akev. So that b'raisa again does not have to be a contradiction to Rabbi Yanai or to Rabbi Yanai in the second lashon, or to Rabbi Yechanan for that matter. Okay. Now, later on, at the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara has a piece that begins with Ozdul Tanayu. They are going according to their respective shittas. Rashi says that actually this belongs over here. That the Gemara goes on to point out that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are going according to their respective opinions, which we find expressed elsewhere about whether whether the vidui is essential or not. So we're saying over here, Rabbi Shimon is saying the vidui is essential, and the Tanakama of the Braisa is saying that it's not. So then they would be going according to their respective shittas, which we find expressed elsewhere. So Rashi says that whole piece belongs over here. However, Tosfos says that that piece belongs later on, where we have it in the Gemara, after the Gemara continues to look for Braises that support Rabbi Yanai or Rabbi Yochanan, and eventually we continue discussing about the question of whether the girdle is ma'akev or not, based on another braisa. Then comes in that we're going to say that the tanoim in that braisa follow their respective shittis that we find elsewhere, and therefore, according to that, then the v'ozdu l'taimayo belongs at the bottom of the amud, which is where we have it in our Gemara. If you look in Hagoyes Habach, though, you'll notice Hagoyes Habach Aleph. You'll notice that he puts it in Rashi's order. He takes that piece v'ozdu l'taimayo from the bottom of the amud and moves it over here. Okay, fine. The Gemara says Toshma. We have another. Let's bring another proof. A braisa says, "Par ma'akavas hasur, v'sur and ma'akavas hapur, b'matonos shibifnim." When it comes to the matonos, when it comes to the applications of blood inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now we know, like this, the avoidus, some of the avoidus involving the par and involving the sur are interleaved. So Rashi gives a short summary of the part that's relevant to our Gemara over here. So you have like this. The Kohen Gadol says the vidui, the first vidui on the par, which we had before in the previous perek. Then he does the girdle, which is what we're dealing with now. Then he does the second vidui on the par for himself and all the Kohenim, which is going to be later on in our perek. Then he shecht the par. Then he, meanwhile, somebody else is stirring the blood. Then he takes the spoon of k'turis and the pan of coals into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and puts the k'turis on the coals and puts the k'turis on the coals in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he comes, takes the blood of the par and puts and sprinkles it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only after that does he shech the sur, and then also he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkles it. Then he goes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkles from the blood of the par on the poroiches outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then the blood of the sur, and then he mixes them and puts them on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So now, so what we're saying is, par ma'akev is a sur. If you did the avoidus out of order and did one of the later avoidus involving the sur before the respective avoider that he was supposed to be doing with the par, then that's ma'akiv. The fact that he didn't do that avoider with the par is ma'akiv, and therefore the sir now is, and therefore the avoider that he did with the sir is possible, and he has to do it, and he has to do it over again. But vas, the sir in ma'akiv is a par. The sir is not ma'akiv of the par. If he did some later avoider of the par earlier than one of the ones he was supposed to be doing of the sir, then it's not poisel. This refers to the matonis in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So for example, in other words, so again, we're saying that he sprinkles the blood of the par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and then the blood of the sur. So let's say, for example, if he were to sprinkle the blood of the sur before the blood of the par, then it would be no good. He has to do par, then sur in that order. But on the other hand, if let's say he were to, but if let's say, for, but if let's say he were to do if let's say he were to do the sprinkling of the blood of the power, if he were to do the sprinkling of the blood of the power, let's say in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then also go and start doing the ones on the Parochas, and only then go and shech the sir, then that would be fine. Then v'dieved, that would be kosher. So let's figure out bishlema what avoidus is the braisa talking about bishlema par ma'akav as a sir. We understand what the braisa means about the par being ma'akav the sir means the iaktim el sir mikame par like ovid v'loy klum. So exactly what we said. If we were to do something with the sir before the par, for example, he does the sprinkling in the kodesh kedushim al bein abadim. If he does with the blood of the sir before the blood of the par, no good. El a sir ain't ma'akav is a par mainu. But what do we mean that the blood of the sir is not ma'akav the par? What avoda of the sir comes before the avoda of the par when it comes to the sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you do first par then sir. So there's nothing that you could do of. There's nothing that you could do of if you do something of the par before the sir, then you would think it's possible, and we're saying it's not a problem. So obviously, what it must be. So what does that mean? Ilema di actim matonis de par behechum mikame matonis de serve of nim. Do you mean that if he did the matonis of the par in the hechel on the parochas before he did the matonis of the sir in the kodesh kadashim? Of course, that would have to be possible. Chukah sibahu. Again, it says the word chukah about the avoida of Yom Kippur, and definitely, even according to Rabbi Huda, we said before, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nechemia are arguing what chukah applies to, but it definitely applies to the avoidas in the kodesh kadashim. So therefore, so yes, if you did something out of order with that, then yes, it's going to be possible. So if you did the blood of the par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then on the Parochas, and only then you did the blood of the Sur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, yes, it's going to be possible, because that for sure, you're going against what the Torah says, Chukah. So what do we mean, what do we have, what avoda with the par do we have that is supposed to be after an avoda with the Sur, and if you did it before, then it's still going to be kosher? So Ella loved to act the matonis with the power of name mikame hagrola. Obviously, therefore, the only other thing must be what's the only other case when we have something of the power that's supposed to take place after something of the sir, and that something of the sir is not a matona in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It must be that you did the matona, so you did the sprinkling of the power inside in the Kodesh HaKadoshim before you did the girdle. So in other words, like this, the order is supposed to be that he does the girdle and only much later on does he do the damapur, because we said he does the girdle and then he does the second vidui on the par, shechts it, then he does the ktodos, and only then does he start with the damapur. Let's say he did it out of order. We're saying that, let's say he skipped the girdle, he went straight to ktodos, and then he went straight to the second vidui and shechting the par and ktodos and so forth and missed out the girdle. And only later on, after he does the blood of the power in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, only then does he do the girdle on the sir. It sounds like the Braisa is implying that it would be kosher, because that's the only case that we can find where you're supposed to do something later with the power, where you're supposed to do something with the power later than the sir, and instead he did it earlier. Well, once we establish that, umidasidra loy ma'akva, then if we're saying that the order of things is not ma'akiv, the actual making the girdle itself is not ma'akiv at all, because if we're saying that you can put you at this point, we're going to assume at least that if we're saying that the girdle doesn't have to be done in its proper place before the second vidui, then we're saying that it would be kosher even if you did it at some later point after you sprinkled the blood of the power in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then we're going to assume that by the same token, on the face of it, if you left out the girdle altogether, apparently it would be fine. So you see, according to the Yanai, that you have an opinion that says the girdle is not active. So according to Rabbi Yanai's second version, how would that work? According to him, neither Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbi Nechemia holds that way. We could say. Tosfos Yeshanim points out that Yeah, you could say that. Let's say, for example, you could say that there's a different thing it's talking about, as far as the as far as matonis. Let's say you did the ones of the par before you did the ones of the par in the heichel before the ones of the sir bifnim. And we would say that it's not ma'akiv. But we would say that we want to say that no. When we say sir and ma'akiv is apur, means that even something where we're talking about matonis, where we're talking about where you did the matonis of the sir bifnim, and nevertheless they're not ma'akiv, even though you missed something that was even though you missed something with the power. Okay. Anyway, the point is, yeah, we could again say that it's according to we could again say that it's according to the Shimon, but. Which we said before, Reb Shimon says that the girdle is not ma'akiv, but this whole thing about what's ma'akiv and what's not ma'akiv is basically the machloikas of Reb Yehuda and Reb Nechemya. So we want to assume that Reb Yehuda and Reb Nechemya are going to be taking a view about it. So according to them, then, so how are we going to understand according to Rabbi Yanai's second version? Neither of them holds the way it says in the Braisa over here. If we assume that the Braisa is telling us that the girdle is not ma'akiv, and the Gemara says loy, not necessarily. You could give a different scenario where you did things with the par and the sur out of order without it being anything involving the girdle. What you're talking about is that nothing to do with the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're talking about like this, again, we said eventually after he finishes with the sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and on the Parechas, after that comes where he sprinkles from the blood on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Now we're going to say later on that he mixes the blood of the pyre and the sur together and then puts it on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Actually, you have a machlokas about that later in the Masechta. Does he do that? Does he do that before any matonets on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or does he first do some matonets on the Mizbeach HaPnimi and only then mix them? We're going to get to that later. We're going to get to that later on in the Masechta. But anyway, so let's say we're talking about, suppose that, again, the order is supposed to be that he does the blood of the par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then the blood of the sur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then the blood of the par on the Parechas, then the blood of the sur on the Parechas, and then the two of them together on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Let's say instead that he did the matana, let's say instead that he sprinkled the blood of the par on the Mizbeach before he did the sur on the Parechas. So then the Braisa is saying that b'di'evad that would be kosher. And for Rabbi Yehuda, so therefore this Braisa would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Da'ama, where again he said, Dvarim anasim b'vigdei lavim b'chutz l'ma'akvi, where again he says that there's no problem. That only the things that are done in Bigdei Lavan in the Kodesh HaKadoshim are ma'akiv, not things that are done outside of it. So therefore, so fine, he has to do everything, but if he does them out of order, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that's not what the Torah is telling us when it says that it has to be Chukas Olam, and therefore b'di'evad it's kosher. So you could say that this Braisa is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not saying anything about the girdle. In fact, if you miss the girdle according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Nechemiah, it would be possible, but rather we're talking about a different sequence of things that you did out of order. Not that you did the girdle out of place, relative to the blood of the par, but rather that you did the blood of the par on the Mizbeach out of place relative to the blood of the sur on the Parechas. So you did it first where you were supposed to do it, where you were supposed to do it afterwards. So not necessarily is the Braisa telling us anything about the girdle one way or the other. The question is, what do you mean? What do you mean? We the Braisa said we're talking about matonas shebifnim. The Parochas and the Mizbeach HaZahav is not bifnim. So the Gemara says, okay, Elohomani Reb Shimon. Fine, you have no choice, but then what to say that the Braisa is according to Reb Shimon. We would have preferred not to do that. We would have preferred to make this Braisa work according to Reb Yehuda, or at least according to Reb Yehuda, but no choice, then we have to say that it's going according to Reb Shimon. Do'ama Hagrola Loi Ma'akva, who says, as we said before, that the girdle is not ma'akiv. And therefore, so fine, according to him, then, if you did the girdle out of sequence, then it would be kosher, because according to him, if you didn't do a girdle at all, then it's kosher. Another possibility is you could say that the Braisa does, after all, go according to Reb Yehuda, and you were assuming before that if the girdle is kosher, even if it's out of place, then it would be fine, even if it was missed, altogether, which is why we brought this as a question on Rabbi Yanai. You don't have to say that. Unihid b'sidra lo ma'akra. You could say that the seder is not ma'akiv. Rabbi Yehuda would say, after all, that the girdle, being that it's outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the order of it is not ma'akiv, because chukah does not apply to that. But hagrola miyav ma'akva, but the actual girdle itself would be ma'akiv, because, like we said before, in the second version of the machlokes, the reason would be because the Torah repeats it twice. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yanai, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's ma'akiv. Not because of chukah, but because it repeats it twice. Okay, so therefore, so again, this braisa could be understood according, so there's two possibilities. Then again, the braisa could be understood according to Rabbi Shimon, and say that according to him, the girdle is not ma'akiv. Therefore, the braisa is implying that not only if you did the girdle out of order, then it's fine, but even if you missed it altogether, it would be fine. Or we could say that no, the braisa is telling us if you did the girdle out of order, then it's fine. Even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require it to be done in order. It's not ma'akiv without that. But Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that a girdle has to be done. And the braisa is making that distinction between whether the girdle was done at all versus whether it was done out of order. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'ozdu l'tamayu." Now they are going according to their respective shittas. Again, according to Rashi, we're referring back to the fact that we said before, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim disagree about the vidui on the Sur Lazazel, whether that's ma'akiv. We said Rav Shimon says it is ma'akiv, and the Chachamim say that it's not. So now we're going to present that machlokas. Now, usually in the Gemara, v'ozdu l'tamayu usually means when we have machlokas about one item and we find a similar item about which they argue, and we can show that they're using the same logic in that scenario as well. Here, the v'ozdu l'tamayu is a little bit different. We're going to be showing where we're going to be really bringing the proof where we see that. Where we see and why we see that Rav Shimon holds the vidui is ma'akev and the Chachamim hold that it's not. So anyway, again, according to Rashi, it refers all the way back to that. According to Tosfos, we're referring to what we just said over here, that according to Rav Shimon, the girdle is not ma'akev, and according to Rav Yehuda, the girdle is ma'akev, but the sequence, if it is not ma'akev, then we're going to show that they have the same machlokes. The same way as where they argue whether you need a girdle in the first place, the same way they're also going to argue what happens if you did a girdle and then the Sora Mashtaleach died before you had a chance to. Now we have like this. We're going to talk later on about the case where animals die. So you can have where the Sora Lashem itself dies, where the Sora Lazazel itself dies. What would happen though if, now we have part of the sequence is that the Kohen Gadol goes and shech the Sor LaHashem and goes and does the matonis of blood of it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And only after all of that is done, only after he finishes with all the matonis of the blood, only then is the Sor LaZazel sent off. So now, what would happen if the Sor, we're going to talk about in the Gemara, what would happen if the Sor LaZazel dies before you had a chance to finish the avodas of the Sor LaHashem? So now we're going to show that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing the same way. So according to Tosfos, v'ozdu l'tamayu can be taken in its usual sense, the same way as they argue whether the girdle is ma'akiv, they're also arguing what would happen, to what extent are the Sor LaHashem and the Sor LaZazel interdependent. Up until what point does the Sor LaZazel have to be alive within the sequence of things that are done for the Sor LaHashem? So to Tanya, we learn in a braisa. When the pasuk says about the Sor LaZazel, Yom Chai Lifnei Hashem L'Chaper Olav, it should be standing alive in front of Hashem to accomplish a kapara over it. Now, what does it mean? Now, what is the word Chai? If it died, you have to replace it. You don't need the word Chai for that purpose. It could just say Yom Lifnei Hashem L'Chaper Olav. It has to be standing before Hashem to make a kapara with it. And obviously, that would mean, therefore, that if it dies, then we haven't accomplished the kapara and we need a new one. So what are we adding with the word chai? So it means, obviously, it means ad masa yezokuk lamed chai. Up to what point are we requiring that the animal is standing there still alive? Ad shas matan domei shochaveira, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say, until the time when the blood, when the application of blood with the other one, with the Sor LaHashem, is accomplished. In other words, according to him, you need to have that, you shech the Sor LaHashem, you start doing the applications of blood in it, the hazois, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichel. So only when that is accomplished, only then is it okay if the Sor LaZazel dies and the kapara has still been accomplished. But So in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that you didn't do the vidui on the Sur LaZazel doesn't matter. It's supposed to be after the Kohen Gadol is done with all the avodas involving the Sur LaShem. After that, he's supposed to go and start and do vidui on the Sur LaZazel and send it off. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying the vidui is not active. If the animal died before he had the chance to do vidui on it, fine, as long as he accomplished the kapara, as long as he accomplished complete kapara with the blood of the Sur LaShem. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Shimon Omer Ad Shas Vidui Dvarim. Reb Shimon says no. It has to be that the Sur LaZazel is alive until you actually do vidui, and it's vidui for the whole Jewish people. So the Gemara says, "B'mai kumitvi." So now, what's the underlying machlokas? So Kitatanya, as we learn in another brisa, when the pasuk says lachaper, when the pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol has to accomplish kapara. Now, we talked about in the previous perek, we talked about when it says lachaper about the par, that it didn't yet mean the kapara involving blood. It meant vidri dvarim, because we said that we said there were two reasons. Number one, because we learned Gzeira Shava from the word kapara by the Sur LaZazel. And number two, because after all, it can't be doing the blood of the par yet, because we said only a couple of psukim later is the par shechted. So therefore, so obviously the first kapara can't be with the blood, it has to be with vidui. So Tosfos Yeshanim points out that Braisa, the first part of that brisa that we learned Gzeira Shava on the word v'chiper from the Sur LaZazel, that again, that we're referring to kaparas dvarim, Rabbi Yehuda would necessarily disagree with that, because in our Gemara over here, we're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that v'chiper over here refers to kaparas dvarim. So necessarily, Rabbi Yehuda would have to agree with the second explanation in the brisa over there, that practically speaking, given the sequence of the psukim, it has to be that you're talking about kaparas dvarim the first time by the pirate. Anyway, so like this, the Braisa says lachaper, the kaparas domim akosim medaber. The pasuk is talking about kapara involving blood. So therefore, the pasuk is telling us that the Sur LaZazel has to be standing there, yomar chai, it has to be standing there alive, lachaper olav, up till the time when kapara is being done on him, meaning not on the Sur LaZazel, but rather on the Sur LaShem. Later on, we find the same word lechaper or mikaper later on in the description, and v'chila mikaper as a kodesh, he completes making kapara in the kodesh, and obviously there we're talking about domim, and only then v'hikriv as a sarachoy, only then does he bring close the still alive sar and say the vidri on it and send it off lazozel, and malahalam kaparas domim. Now there mikaper as a kodesh, of course, is referring to kaparas domim, because there's no vidui in the Hechel, Afkan, but Kaparas Domim. The same thing over here. Earlier, when it says, L'chaper Olav has to mean Kaparas Domim. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, that shows that the Sur LaZazel has to still be alive until the Kapara with the Sur LaShem, the Kaparas Domim with the Sur LaShem is completed. But not that it has to still be alive to do a vidui on it. Rabbi Yehuda would say that the vidui on the Sur LaZazel is not essential. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says no, l'chaper olav kaparas dvarim akosim medaber. Reb Shimon says no, l'chaper olav means kaparas dvarim, and it means the vidui. So therefore, the Sur LaZazel has to be alive until you do the vidui on it. So you see that Reb Shimon holds that the vidui is in fact essential. So again, according to Rashi, this was brought as a proof to show, and not really as a proof, but rather to show where do we see that Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon argue over this point of whether the vidui is ma'akav or not, which we mentioned briefly in the Braisa on Amar Aleph. Here we have the source for it, where Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda learn the psukim differently. According to Tosfos, rather, what it is we're bringing this as a proof. We're saying that just like Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon argue whether the girdle is essential, they also argue to what extent are these two animals interdependent? Are they interdependent only until the kapara of blood with the Sur LaShem is completed? Or are they interdependent even later than that, that the vidui on the Sur LaZazel has to be accomplished in order for it to be kosher? And then according to Reb Shimon, again, you don't need a girdle at all. So according to him, they're not really interdependent at all. The Sur LaZazel has to be alive until what's going to be done with it, namely the vidui on it, is accomplished, and he doesn't care about where it is relative to the other one, because they're not really interdependent at all. And according to him, you don't even need a girdle for them. Okay. Fine. So anyway, the point is that we still don't have a proof one way or the other what Rabbi Yehuda would hold about whether the girdle was ma'akev. Again, we're still trying to figure out, according to Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yechanan, respectively, according to the second lashon of them, that is, we said that Rabbi Nechemiah would say the girdle is definitely ma'akev, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say it's machlokas. Rabbi Yechanan says it's not ma'akev, Rabbi Yanai says it is. So we're still trying to prove one way or the other. Tashma, so let's try to bring another proof. A braisa says, Shalu Talmidim as Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim asked him, given that we said yesterday that it's a good simon if the girdle Hashem comes up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, so Mahush all of his smile, so if the girdle Hashem came up in the Kohen Gadol's left hand, Mahush Yachsu Liyamin. Would he be allowed to transfer it to his right hand and put it on the Sur Lashem that's on his right side? Amalahen, so Rabbi Akiva answers them, Al titnu mokim l'tzdukim ludos. Don't give the tzdukim a chance to rebel or to lord it over us. So first of all, tzdukim over here may well be something that was changed by the censors, which is really supposed to be minim. Where minim in the Gemara often means the early Christians. And in fact, Rashi says over here, Talmidim, hachokim ala Torah. And in fact, in uncensored Gemaras, it says Talmidei Yeshua Notzvi. So the early Christians. So they're going to go and then lord it over you and claim that, look at this, you're just making things up. You're just doing however you want. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying, in principle, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But because you have minim out there, then therefore you can't do that. Rabbi Hanano gives a different explanation, actually, of Lurdos, is like this. One of the beliefs of these guys, the early Christians, is that you have, there's Hashem, and then you have his opposite number is the devil, is the Satan. So they're going to claim, so they're not like we know the Satan is a Malach who's subservient to Hashem, just like every other Malach. So they're going to claim, look at this. You obviously are saying that there really are two co-equal, gods. Okay, one of them has to be honored more, and therefore you want his girdle to be on the right side. So to avoid them being able to use this as a proof for their ideas, Rabbi Akiva says, don't do that. If the girdle came up in the left hand, keep it in the left hand. Now, the point is, time of the altitin mokum letzdukim ludos. So what do we see? Rabbi Akiva is telling us, in principle, there shouldn't be a problem switching around the gerolis, only because the tzdukim or the minim or whatever are going to get involved do we not want that. Holav hachim adudinle. Apparently, Rabbi Akiva would say, in principle, api alacha, you would be allowed to switch it around. Now, aren't we saying that the girdle is ma'akiv? Now, of course, it's true. We already said Reb Shimon said that it's not ma'akiv. But Rabbi Akiva was the Rebbe of, Tosfos explained, Rabbi Akiva was the Rebbe of all three of these Tanoim, of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Shimon. So we don't want to have to say that Rabbi Akiva is disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. We would rather say that he agrees with all of them. But if we say that according to him, apparently the girdle is not necessary, in principle, you could pick the animals arbitrarily however you want, and only because al titnu mokum letzdukim ludos are we not going to do that. So how? According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, according to Rabbi Yanai's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, also the hagrola is ma'akiv. The kivin to kavite smol. So once it was established on the left side, how would he be allowed to turn it around? Once he pulled out the girdle Lashem in his left hand, then that automatically becomes the animal that's Lashem. How is there even a habam in it to switch it around? So the answer is, if you say the girdle is not ma'akiv, then fine. But if you say, like Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nechemiah, that the girdle is ma'akiv, then how would that work? So Rava says, fine. What it means is, This is what the Chachamim said to Rabbi Akiva. Not that we should be allowed to switch around, that once the girdle came out in the left hand, we're going to transfer it to the right hand and put it on the right hand animal, but rather, all our girdle besmol, suppose that the girdle Lashem comes up in the left hand, which, as we said before, is a bad sign. Can we maybe turn around both the girdle and the goat? So we're going to say, okay, the left-hand goat is now going to be the Sur Lashem, but now, in order to show a good simon to the Jewish people, maybe what we'll do is we'll take that goat and swap it around, swap positions between that and the other one, and also swap the godolas. So yeah, the one that was picked by Godol Lashem is going to be Lashem, but afterwards it's going to be standing in the Godol for Lashem, and the Sar Lashem are going to end up standing on his right side. Can we do that? And Avalahem al titna mokum letzdukim ludus, and he tells them, don't give tzdukim or the minim an excuse to lord it over us or to claim support for their doctrines in the Torah. In other words, so there it's not a question of whether the girdle is necessary. Of course the girdle is necessary. The question was only whether for cosmetic purposes we can switch everything around so that it at least looks like the Sur came out on the right side, the Sur Lashem came out on the right side, and Rabbi Akiva says, in principle, I wouldn't have a problem with that, but you have the problem of the tzedukim or the min. So that has nothing to do with the question of whether the girdle is necessary. You could in fact say that Rabbi Akiva holds the girdle is in fact necessary. By the way, the Siach Yitzchok explains that, you know, they were arguing on the face of it. You could say maybe we should allow them to turn their question before they knew that there's a problem with the tzedukim or the minim. On the one hand, maybe we should be able to turn the girdle and the animals around, because again, that way it'll be a good simon for the Jewish people, and this way, all the rest of the Jewish people will feel good. On the other hand, maybe not. Maybe Dafka, we should leave it on the left side, let everybody know that it's on the left side, so that the Kohen Gadol and the Jews should be motivated to do tshuva. And Rabbi Akiva says to them, fine, in terms of making everybody feel good, I would be fine with that, but you have the problem of the tzedukim or the minim, so therefore we can't do that. By the way, also, if we say that the girdle, if we say that the girdle is not completely necessary, still you have the question, once you took out the girdle in the left hand, how is the Gemara even having a hava amina to say that you could then instead make the one that was la zozel make it la shem and vice versa? I mean, still, even if we say the girdle is not required la halacha, even if we go like Reb Shimon, you're still going to say once the girdle was done, then it establishes which animal is which. So the Gvura Sari says an interesting idea. If we were to say that the girdle is not required, maybe the Kohen Gadol could make a tnai ahead of time. He could say, if the girdle Lashem comes up in my left hand, if the girdle Lashem is going to come up in my left hand, then as of now, I'm designating the one on my right side to be the Sar Lashem. So if now the girdle Lashem comes out in his right hand, then good, the girdle makes it. And if not, then his tnai was that the one on his right is going to be the Sar Lashem anyway. The Chebin Rav says another point also. He says the same way as you find, for example, when you designate a certain part of your crop as truma or meiser, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that it's like a neder, and you could be matu neder on it, and you go to a Rav, you're matu neder like any other neder, and then instead you could designate a different part of the crop as truma or meiser. The same way over here, maybe the Gemara's haba, I mean, it was that you could have, they were designated with the girdolas, but then maybe you could be matu neder and do another girdle and do a girdle as many times as necessary until it comes out in his right hand. And then, and again, Rabbi Akiva said, and the Gemara had said that no, according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say in the end, the girdle is ma'akiv, so you can't do any such shenanigans. But as far as switching around the girdle and the animal, fine, except for the problem of the tzedukim or the minim. Okay. Toshma, let's bring another proof again regarding the machlokas of Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan. A brisa says, "Ilu nema es asar asher olav." If the expression in the pasuk is "asher ola olav hagirdle Lashem," that the girdle Lashem came out on it. So, "ilu nema es asar asher olav." If it said just the goat that has the the girdle Lashem on it, how you see, I mean, yenichenu olav, then he would say it means you actually have to place the girdle on the animal. Talmud Lima Olav, but no. Therefore, the pasuk doesn't say Asher Olav. It says Olav that it came up on it. Meaning, Kibin Sha'ola. Once the girdle came out of the box, and you know which one is for which animal, then Shuvan Itzarech. Then you don't have to put it on because, like we said earlier in the sugya, everybody agrees Hanocha Loi Ma'ak, but placing them on the animals is not Ma'ak. Now we have to ask Lamai. As far as what is the braisa talking about? Ilema la mitzvah. Are you talking about as far as how the mitzvah should be done? Miklal da hanocha mitzvah nami loy. So the implication seems to be that placing it on the animals is not even part of the mitzvah. What do you mean? I mean, placing them on the animals is still the ideal way to do the mitzvah. So obviously, elo lav la'akiv. So obviously the Braisa must be talking about what, not what's a mitzvah to do, but rather what's ma'akev. And the Braisa is telling us the girdle is ma'akev, the hanocha is not ma'akev. Ushma mina hagrola ma'akva, hanocha le ma'akva. So you see from that, the girdle is ma'akev, the hanocha is not. Now, again, according to the first Lashon, then that would contradict Rabbi Yochanan, because according to him, nobody holds that the girdle is ma'akev. And according to the second Lashon, it would show that this Braisa, could be either according to Rabbi Yana, could be either according to Rabbi Nechemiah or Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would have to be according to Rabbi Nechemiah. So Amar Rabba says not necessarily, because Hochikama, what the Braisa may mean is as follows. Ilu nemar asher olav. Again, if it didn't say the word olav, if it said asher olav, ad shas shchita, then you would think the girdle has to be sitting on the animal's back until the time it's shechted. Therefore, it's saying once it comes out of the box, then you don't need to keep it on there anymore. So, in other words, the Braisa is not necessarily addressing hagrola versus hanocha. It's addressing, do you need to leave the is there any mitzvah at all to leave the girdle on the animal after it was designated? And the answer is no, there's not even a mitzvah in that. But as far as hanocha, yes, there was a mitzvah. Actually, put it on the animal. Sure, that there's a mitzvah. And as far as hagrola, the braisa is not taking a stand on it one way or the other. So not necessarily is this braisa a proof one way or the other. Tashma, let's bring another proof. A braisa says, v'asahu chatas, when the pasuk says that the kohen gadol does the girdle and he should make it a chatas, that means hagirdle, oisehu chatas, ve'en hashem oisehu chatas. Dafka, the girdle, designates which one is Lashem and which one is Lazazel, not just designating them verbally. If he were to just verbally say, this one is Lashem, this one is Lazazel, it wouldn't work and he could change his mind or he could do a different girdle. And why do we need that? Sheyocho v'halodinu. Because otherwise you would think to make a kavachomer. Umma b'mokam shalakiddish a girdle, madach in a place where a girdle is not makadish, namely when it comes to other karbonis where you need to specify which is which. So you have, a person has to bring two birds, for example, a zava, etc. has to bring two birds as a karbon, one a chatas and one an oila. And we're going to discuss in the Gemara, tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that you need to designate which one is going to be an oila, which one is going to be a chatas. Now, a girdle is not a valid way to do that. If you were to make a girdle, chatas and oila, and make a girdle, that wouldn't be valid, and you could change your mind. You could change your mind later on and designate them in the other way around. So a girdle has no effect on other korbanos. And yet, kiddush Hashem, but saying verbally, this one is a chatas, this one is an oila, then you can't change your mind. The Gemara is going to explain later that either the owner, when they buy the birds, or the koyan when they're given to him for the korban, can designate which is which. So if I buy a pair of birds and I say this one is a chatas, this one is an oila, nobody can change the koyan, or nobody can change their mind later on. On the other hand, if I were to make a girdle and call them lashem, if I were to make a girdle and call them chatas and oila, nothing happens. So then mokum shekiddush a girdle ain't a dinshi kat, and yet kiddush Hashem. So verbally designating them makes them mokum shekiddush a girdle. Well then, when it comes to Yom Kippur, where a girdle makes the designation Lashem and Lazazel, ain't a dinshi kaddish Hashem, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that saying this one is Lashem, this one is Lazazel should work without a girdle? Talmud Lomar, no, therefore the pasuk says, v'asahu chatas, he should make it a chatas, meaning a girdle is a chatas, v'ain Hashem is a chatas. Dafka making a girdle makes it into a chatas, not just designating it verbally. Which Tosfos points out in that case, why don't we say, once we establish that that's the case on Yom Kippur, why don't we say that we can learn then by a kavachomer from that to other korbanos that a girdle should work? And Tosfos explains, because the word v'asahu is a mute. Only this can become a chakas through a girdle, nothing else. So now, who is this Braisa like? Again, we have three different Tanoim that it could potentially be like, but this Braisa comes from Sifra. This Braisa is a medrash on a pasuk in Vayikra. Therefore, it comes from Sifra, which is the collection of medrashim on Sefer Vayikra. So Stam Sifra Mani Rabbi Yehuda, a Stam Braisa in Sifri is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The same way as we say Stam Mishnah to Meir, the same way Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has the whole list of which ones are which. Anyway, V'katoni ha-gurul oisachatas ve'in Hashem oisachatas. and we're saying that the girdle is what makes them a chatas and a sarulah zozo respectively, and not verbally designating them al mahagrola ma'akva. Therefore, you see that making a girdle is in fact ma'akva according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, of course, we can't say that this is according to Rabbi Nechemya or according to Rabbi Shimon, because this is a stam braisa and sifri and sifra rather, and therefore that goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the girdle is ma'akiv. Therefore, tiyupta demanda omah, grola lo ma'akva. So now this is a contradiction on Rabbi Yechanan, who would say, this is a contradiction on the first version of Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yechanan, that we said according to them, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold that the hagrola is not ma'akiv, and only according to Rabbi Nechemya was the machloikas. It's also a contradiction on Rabbi Yechanan according to the second version, who said that Rabbi Yehuda is not going to say that, it's going to say the girdle is not ma'akiv, only Rabbi Nechemya would. Now it's clear. Tiyupta, so good, that's a contradiction. So therefore it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the girdle is ma'akiv, according to the second version of Rabbi Yanai. So therefore, so we're left with the second version of what Rabbi Yanai says, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya would agree the girdle is ma'akiv. Rabbi Nechemya on the grounds of chukah, and Rabbi Yehuda on the grounds that it repeats it twice. Okay, Tosfos Yeshanim over here deal at some length with the, okay, so according, it comes out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only reason it's ma'akiv is because it says twice, but not because it says chukah, but we have other gemaras that seem to imply that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's because it says chukah. So they find for it at some length, but the point is we are left with the actual din that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you must have a girdle. So the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Nechemya, you must have an actual girdle, because according to him, anything done in Big Day Lavan is ma'akiv, not only whether it's done or not, but also the order. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying also the girdle is ma'akiv, because it repeats it twice. And we shlugged up Rabbi Yechanan. We said that we said Rabbi Yehuda can't hold that it's not ma'akiv. He must necessarily, on the basis of his braisa from Sifra, hold that it's ma'akiv. The only one who holds that the girdle is not ma'akiv is Rabbi Shimon. Okay. And the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, so therefore the girdle is ma'akiv.
Okay.